Greetings in the holy name of Jesus as we welcome you to this Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers contribute and pray so that we can share this gospel message. Today, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, Teach Me, O Lord. We pray that you will listen and be blessed from the Lord. We now begin with worship of our Lord. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in humility, recognizing your majestic holiness and appreciating your powerful love. We also are grateful for the promise because your promises are sure and true. Help us to follow Jesus as his perfect example and help us to use the words of this program for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with greater understanding and spiritual convictions that are needed for us to be ready to meet Jesus in the air. We also seek your help and protection and strength and faith for each one, and thank you for hearing us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present in sermon, Teach Me, O Lord, based upon Psalms 119, verses 33 to 37.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Teach Me, O Lord. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 119, verses 33 through 37. Please listen to the Word of God. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. True and meaningful words that we must all take to heart as believers and would-be believers. As Christians, our wonderful gift from God is his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Similarly, is his gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, that once we are saved is our helper, who comes alongside us in our growth, development, and as our comforter. As believers, the Godhead, the Father whom is the giver, the Son and the Spirit who are given, are our most valuable assets. One God, yet revealed in the Scriptures as three distinct persons of the Trinitarian God we worship and serve. As spectacular as becoming sons and daughters of the living God, added to his family, there is yet another precious gift. The gift that currently in this life is the most tangible, that is, the most perceptible by touch. The gift that currently is the most clearly intelligible as visible, physical, and useful in our training in righteousness. I'm, of course, referring to the Holy Bible, the sacred scriptures, with God's decrees, laws, commands, statutes, and the like, available to the human race in order to know God, to know his will through his written word. This sermon's thrust is primarily twofold. First, to reinforce in our minds the reality that God's gift of his book to humankind is the world's greatest book. Secondly, to motivate us all to spend both quantitative and qualitative time absorbed in the awesome revelations of God to us. Quote, the book to read is not the one which thinks for you, but the one which makes you think. No book in the world equals the Bible for that. End quote. The words of Harper Lee, author of best-selling novel you've probably heard about or even read, entitled To Kill a Mockingbird. Why do so many worldwide fully accept that the Bible is the greatest book? Consider the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the younger man Timothy. how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. No other printed material except Scripture is God-breathed or inspired of God on earth. So identified is the one true God with His Word that when Scripture speaks, God speaks to us. Note carefully the words of Romans chapter 9 and verse 17 in the New Testament. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Here in the Roman epistle, quoting Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, whereby the Lord God Himself was speaking, and the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul of the Roman letter, substituted Scripture says, because it was actually God-breathed by these words. Scripture is revealed as, quote, the very words of God, end quote, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. Jesus Christ Himself stated of the Old Testament Scriptures, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. I'll illustrate the world's value of even a portion of Scripture. An auction was held in New York on November 26th, in the year of our Lord 2013. A copy of the Bay Psalm Book was up for sale. In A.D. 1640, this collection of biblical psalms had been translated from Hebrew and then typeset and printed by Puritan settlers. It was the first book published in British North America. Yet 20 years after the landing of the Mayflower, of the 1,700 copies originally printed, only 11 are known to survive. Just 2.5 minutes after an opening bid of $6 million, frenzied buyers were offering more than $12 million for this rare piece of religious history. The final purchase price was $14.165 million. Earning at that time the Bay Psalm Book the new world record for the most expensive printed book ever sold at auction. If you think that establishes the value of Scripture, at least monetarily, consider the very first printed Gutenberg Bible. One leaf, that is, a single sheet made up of two pages, from a surviving rare Gutenberg Bible can sell for as much as $100,000. This is because the Gutenberg Bible is the first major book ever printed using movable type. It predates the Bay Psalm Book by more than 180 years. Experts estimate that if an entire Gutenberg Bible ever came up for auction, and only 48 copies remain, only 31 in excellent condition, one of these Bibles would likely fetch upward of $50 million. Of course, when it comes to the Bible, most have an opinion. Abraham Lincoln, United States' 16th president, stated, quote, the best gift God has given to man and all the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. End of quote. Yet, another author had a different opinion. His name? Mark Twain, the novelist, the humorist, the travel writer, wrote of the Bible, quote, "Some good morals and a wealth also of obscenity and upwards of 1,000 lies," end quote. And so the Bible is, yes, both loved and loathed. Yet, as believers, we are in the camp of the 4th century scholar Jerome, best known for translating the scriptures into the Latin language. Jerome stated, the, quote, "Bible is the divine library," end of quote. For believers, the Holy Bible is far more valuable than dollars to us individually today as Christians, and corporately as the Lord's church, and in fact, to all humankind for its consideration. The Bible is controversial. Many passages are not easy to read or understand. So how can humankind objectively, reasonably consider the Bible the greatest book? Using a wide lens, the teachings of Scripture have inspired wide-scale humanitarian efforts. There's no way to know how many hospitals, schools, charitable nonprofits, food banks, for example, have been established because of the Bible's injunctions to care for stranger orphans and widows. Deuteronomy 24:17 through 19, and in the New Testament, James chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible has a one-of-a-kind history. It was penned by dozens of writers in three continents over a span of 10 to 15 centuries. Throughout history, there has been repeated attempts to discredit or destroy these writings considered sacred. But the Bible has survived. Countless people have perished in their efforts to defend and distribute the Bible. The Bible has shaped three world religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Many are surprised at the latter. But Muslims have adapted many of the stories and people from the Bible and included them in their Quran, though this with changes from the earlier biblical text, with claims that Jews and Christians falsified aspects of the Bible. On an individual, personalized basis, the Holy Bible continues to have a monumental, even saving, impact. Yet the world's greatest book is a gift from the living God to everyone. It is for the faithful and the faithless. The Bible is a springboard to opening minds to all kinds of ideas, thoughts, and beliefs about what our individual life is all about. As believers, consider Psalm 119. With its 176 sections or chapters. It is the longest of the Psalms, and with the most chapters in all of the Bible. It is the foremost portion of Scripture that exalts God's written Word. Psalm 119 incorporates 7 different terms referring to Scripture, including laws, precepts, statutes, commands, decrees, word, and promises. Possibly it was written by Ezra, the priest. It is a repetitive meditation on the wonder and value of God's mind, God's heart, God's will revealed to humankind. It is written to help the believer to grow in faith, to come to faith and to grow in faith and remain committed to the Lord. It's a precious map for believers of every generation and can be a comfort in times of trouble. Let's consider a short sample. Psalm 119, verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end." If we saturate our minds, hearts, and wills with the teachings of the Lord, we can be steeled to obey to the end as we persevere and are overcomers in this life. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all of my heart. The more we read and study Scripture, the more we will understand God's truths with heartfelt surrender. Verse 35, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Petitioning the Lord for divine guidance should be our daily prayer. The more we submit to the Lord's ways, the less burdensome they become, even unto a delight. Therein we find maturement in the Lord. Verse 36, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. When we discern that our hearts cling unto the Lord and not unto ourselves, we know that we are developing a heart after the Lord's own heart. Verse 37, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Today, there are so very many more attractions and distractions of this world that can cause us to minimize, even to neglect Scripture, neglect prayer and worship. This can be fatal. We must evaluate our priorities. As our bodies need food, so our spirits need God's Word in order to grow, to develop, as the family of God so desires us to be. In order to grow, develop, and be the family God so desires us to be. All God's gifts to us need to be received, treasured, and applied to our very lives. From salvation to sanctification, we need the Scriptures. We need to spend time with God, which along with prayer and worship, Scripture is so, so very important. Commit today to continue and or to begin to draw closer to God through the pages of His written Word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Someone has written these truths, quote, let us remember other books were given for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't falling apart. If you carry a Bible when you are young, it will carry you when you are old. It's never too late to begin to allow God to carry you. End quote. May we all read, study, and apply God's Word to our everyday lives. This is of maximum importance. The meditation of our hearts needs to continually be, teach me, O Lord. Let us all read and apply our Bibles to our daily lives.
Bye.
We have been blessed by the Word of God and by Brother Johnson's teaching. It is our prayer that you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us at one of the addresses that will follow. You may also request a CD of this and next week's program by asking for CD number 2221. That's 2221. Please plan now to tune in again for next week's Words of Life program, and we encourage you to write to us today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.